Welcome to Wise Guys. These guys know sports on this Friday, August the 7th. Happy Friday to everybody out there. Another day on the Wise Guys show on the Worldwide Sports Network with my co-host, Mr. Clarence Dixon. What's up, Clarence?
Hey, how you doing today, man? Happy Friday, man. It's finally here.
Happy Friday to you, brother. How's your day going?
Day going well, man. Just smooth again. Just relaxing with the family. Just ready to talk some sports, man, on this Friday.
Definitely is, man. We're going to have Worldwide Sports owner, creator, Earl Marks here on the show in a bit as a guest on the Wise Guys show. Yeah, so I'm definitely excited about that. We got an action jam-packed show. We're going to talk about the Milwaukee Bucks rallying from a 24-point deficit, beating the Miami Heat yesterday in the NBA bubble. Also, we're going to talk about Amari Cooper. He said that the Cowboys will have 3,000-yard receivers this season. That's what Amari Cooper said yesterday. So we're going to talk about that as well on the show. But, Clarence, we begin an NBA bubble in Orlando with my Portland Trailblazers as Dame Dollar put on a performance for the ages last night against the Denver Nuggets. The Portland Trailblazers beat the Denver Nuggets 125-115. Dame Dollar dropped 45 points, 11-18 from three-point range. Gary Trent also chipped in with 27 points. He was 7 of 10 from three-point range. So, Clarence, as we open up the show today, I'm putting the pressure on you, brother. It's on you. Are you ready to admit that I was right about the Portland Trailblazers being a legitimate threat to the L.A. Lakers? The floor is yours.
Yeah, the floor is mine, man. Man, first of all, I'm gonna keep 100 with you, Trey. I still don't believe Portland it has enough to get past playoff LeBron, man. I'm not betting on LeBron James. I'm not betting on no LeBron James in the playoff. Let me tell you, I think he's 24-0 or 25-0 that he's never lost a first round. He never lost a first round in the NBA playoffs, and that's big. And I understand Dame Dollar and the Portland Trailblazers, they're playing tremendous. They're actually one game behind. They're one game behind the Memphis Grizzlies for the eighth seed. But I don't think that's enough to slow down playoff LeBron. Playoff LeBron is very dangerous. He's ambitious. He's hungry. You've seen it over the years, man. I mean, like what he brings to the table. Think about it. He got another young star that's still finding his way into being like a big name star, Anthony Davis. He got him. Remember in 2018 with the Cleveland Cavaliers, he didn't have no other star to even contribute. I think the next person that was averaging at least double figures was Kevin Love. It was Kevin Love. But he got AD. But the point is, this Lakers team, this Lakers team is still, like, tough to beat. And Portland, they don't have enough to beat him, man. They don't have enough to beat him.
So you're saying this Lakers team is tough to beat. This is the same Lakers team who I believe lost to the Raptors Saturday night. And then they got blown completely off the floor against the OKC Thunder.
Yeah.
And yesterday they lost to James Harden and a Russell Westbrook-less Rockets team. Like, Russell Westbrook didn't even play yesterday. And they got blown out again. So that's that Lakers team that you called a few weeks ago loaded. Okay. The question was, are the Portland Trailblazers a legitimate threat? So you're saying that you think ultimately LeBron James is going to beat the Portland Trailblazers in the first round of NBA playoffs. That's your basic. That's your final, takeaway from the entire series. That's what you think is going to ultimately happen. But legitimate threat is not who's going to win. That's talking about whether or not the series will go the distance and if the Portland Trailblazers will give the Los Angeles Lakers headaches. And you are delusional, my brother, if you don't think that Dame Dollar and Gary Trent and Carmelo Anthony and CJ McCollum and Nurkic are not going to give LeBron and AD, because that's where it stops. Headaches. You are delusional, bro. If you really think that this first round playoff series for LeBron James and Anthony Davis and the Lakers is going to be a cakewalk, then I need to see what you over there drinking in your cup. Because I know it's the weekend clearance. I know it's Friday, but it's early still. It's still early. It's only 8 o'clock because we live on the Worldwide Sports Network each and every Friday, 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. It's early. If you think that the Portland Trail Blazers are going to get swept or beat in 5 games by the Los Angeles Lakers, bro, I don't know what you over there drinking in your cup this early on this Friday. I know it's the weekend. I know we like to have a good time on the weekends, and everybody has their own recreational activities that they're doing. But I would like to question what the hell yours is doing to you. Because if you think that LeBron going to just beat the Trailblazers and blow them off the floor and just sweep them off the floor with no competition, I think you really being misinformed. And I think you need to get your eyesight checked, bro. You need to get your eyes checked, and you need to go to the eye doctor and get an eye exam. I got glasses, bro. I can recommend you a nice place to go to and get a nice eye exam.
I'm not betting over playoff. I'm not betting against playoff Bron, man. Like,
I didn't say you had to pick the Trailblazers. I said that you delusional. You don't think it's going to be a great series.
I gave them the benefit of doubt to 6 games. I gave you the benefit of doubt. I know Portland. Portland is a good team in a bubble that's really making some noise. I see that. But at the same time, we're talking playoff basketball. That's different than regular season basketball, Trey. And to you to think that Portland Trailblazer has enough to beat a LeBron James and a young Lakers team, that's delusional right there, man. Betting against LeBron James is like you need to get checked out for your – like you need to get drug tested, man. I am not betting against LeBron James at all, man. Like, I don't know what's hard for you to understand that. This man – can play a whole game if he wanted to. He can tire the team down by himself, because honestly, nobody on that Portland team can guard him. And for Dame Dollar, I seen him get minimized and like shut down, don't have these big games. I see it. I truly believe Frank Vogel, Jason Kidd is gonna find a game plan to come to stop him from them shooting because their biggest strength is shooting the three. If they're not shooting the three, they don't have no chance of winning the game.
Last night, Gary Trent and Damian Lillard, they combined to go 18 of 28 from three-point range. I don't care what team you are. You can't beat a team that's hitting three-point shots the way Damian Lillard and Gary Trent is right now for my Portland Trail Blazers. It doesn't matter, Clarence, what LeBron does. If you can't stop Damian Lillard from pulling up from 30, ain't nothing you're going to be able to do, because this is something else I want to tell you, too, because I think people get it mixed up. I will say that I believe that Steph Curry is more accomplished than Damian Lillard. But I think Damian Lillard is a similar type of player to Steph Curry. The same way we be seeing Steph Curry have unlimited range and how as soon as he passes half court, he's a legitimate threat to shoot anywhere on the court. That's the same way Damian Lillard's game is built of. Like, Damian can pull up from 40 and hit the perimeter shot. What can you do against it? There's no defense for it. And I got one more for you. Do you know, since the NBA restart has started and the games have started counting, do you know that Damian Lillard and Gary Trent Jr. have both made more three-point shots than the Lakers as a team combined? Well, listen, you got to understand, you keep talking about LeBron. I agree with you about the greatness of LeBron James. We already know LeBron James is a top 10 all-time player, in my opinion. You know, crawling his way into that top 5. We know LeBron is great, but you're going to need another third consistent scorer. And I want to know, who is the third consistent scorer on that Lakers team that's going to be able to help them in a playoff series that's not going to be scared of the big moment? Because
I can name a few, man. I can name a few that's hungry, that wants to show up in this playoff.
What have they proven to you so far since these games have mattered? You're going off of what you saw in the regular season, Clint.
No, I'm not going. You are. I'm not. Here's the thing. I feel like this. This is going to be another replay of 2018 playoff when the Indiana Pacers took LeBron James to 7 games and couldn't prevail over the great LeBron James. And I think the third score on that Lakers team it can be definitely be Kyle Kuzma. He has the upside of scoring the amount of points they want him to do. But here's the thing. Big, I want to say this, though. Like, Gary Trent has been phenomenal this bubble. I can't lie. He's been phenomenal.
Yes. He's
been shooting it. He's been going crazy. Because at first I'm thinking, who is this Gary Trent guy? Every time when Dame was, like, the game against the Celtics, they was down bad, 24. He helped them come back up with his three-pointers. And I think, wow, that was amazing. Even the first game, like, he was on fire. This guy is, like, is showing up. Like, he is showing up. I like these guys that hasn't been, like, been talked about, been never been named. Like, T.J. Warren for the Pacers, he's showing up. But this guy, Gary Trent, he's hitting big shots for this Portland Trailblazer team. That's really impressive. But I think it's still not enough to beat LeBron James and his Lakers team because they're a nice built team. They already clinched the number one seed. They already clinched it. So it really wouldn't matter who they play in the AC. You got to think about that.
I look at it like this. Right now, I think when I look at the NBA, I think we've got to separate the season into three seasons. Before the pandemic, the NBA restart right now, these eight seeding games, and the playoffs. I would separate these seasons into three different seasons. And I told you before, when the pandemic was going on, I said, listen, this is going to hurt the Lakers more than any other team. And it has shown since these games have actually mattered, Clarence. The Lakers are shooting terrible from three-point range. Like, it's god-awful. It's bad. And LeBron James, he didn't play last night because he would have made it worse. They have shot terrible since the NBA restart. And I'm looking at Portland. They got four bona fide players who can shoot the perimeter shot. Gary Trent Jr., Damian Lillard, the great Carmelo Anthony, CJ McCollum. They got legitimate shooters on their team who can hit the perimeter shot. And I told you before, I'm going to say it again.
Lakers got a lot of perimeter shooters on their team.
I'm not saying they don't got guys who can shoot. But so far in the bubble, they haven't shot very well as a team. They've been god-awful. They've been terrible. And if they want to have any chance of beating the Portland Trailblazers, they need to improve on their three-point shooting. And that's happened quick, fast, and in a hurry, Clarence. I'm telling you something right now. LeBron, Anthony Davis, Frank Vogel, they're going to be losing sleep over the next week or so until these playoffs start. Because they know when Dame Dolla gets it going and Dame Dolla is boogieing on you out there on the perimeter, creating space, hitting the perimeter shot, he's unguardable. The only problem I got with Dame Dolla is he's had moments in the playoffs where he's had letdowns. Like last year in the playoffs against Steph Curry and the Warriors, without Kevin Durant, Dame Dolla and CJ McCollum both came up small against the Warriors in the Western Conference Finals. I was disappointed in Dame last year because I expected Dame to at least beat the Warriors at least one or two games. When you can shoot like Dame Dolla can, you expect him to at least get a game. At least. They got swept. I was so disappointed. But I still believe that this is a new year. And now Dame Dolla has a better supporting cast than he did last year. Because you got Nurkic back down in the low post, who can create his own shot for others. Also, is a great passing big man. You also got Melo on the perimeter, who can hit perimeter shots, get down the low block, create his own shot. You know what I mean? So he has a better supporting cast, and Gary Trent Jr. as well. He got a better supporting cast now than he had last year in the Western Conference Finals. Therefore, I believe the Portland Trailblazers are a legitimate threat to the Lakers, and I think that they're a scary team heading into these playoffs. And one more thing I want to say. All year long, we talked about the Western Conference Finals being the Lakers and the Clippers. I think my Portland Trailblazers about to crash the party, Clarence. I think they're about to crash the party. You ever been to one of those college parties and they had the guys who come around dancing and they messing up your groove? You know, you and your groove dancing on the dance floor, and here these guys come around dancing as a group. That's what the Portland Trailblazers doing right now in the party. They coming around while everybody else dancing. They about to mess up the party for everybody.
But then you don't mention that they get themselves knocked out the party and don't come back. But let's go to the next question, though, Trey, man. So what would you compare, like, DJ, like Dame and CJ duos? Is there a top duo in the league?
Definitely top five. For sure, top five duo in the NBA. When I look at the last few years, I would say Like, I'm gonna give you a name, a dual name. Yes, easily. I would say the only for sure duo that's better than the Portland Trailblazers duo, I would say is Golden State's with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. They better than Dame and CJ. But
when we talk about duos, we talk about like two stars on the team or just two guards.
No, I'm talking about the guards, point guard, shooting guard.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I would say
we might be on the same page.
Easily. Like, okay, I'm gonna give you another point guard, shooting guard duo that I think they better than, even though they're not teammates no more. I always thought CJ and Dame was better than Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan. You agree or disagree?
Yeah, I agree on that one because DeMar DeRozan couldn't raise his game to a whole nother level. But Kyle Lowry, I love Lowry, man. He's a bulldog. He's tough. He plays defense, and he always get his team involved. Yeah, I can agree with that.
Yeah. I just think when you look at Dame and CJ, these are two players that can light it up. But we got to throw Gary Trent Jr. in there now. Gary Trent Jr. is now Damian Lillard's new running mate because so far in the bubble, CJ hasn't been able to get to rhythm consistently and hit shots.
I think that's the problem. If
CJ get it going, it's over. If CJ get it going, it's
off. I mean, but at the same time, if Dame is hot, I don't believe CJ McCollum's going to, like, take his shine away. He going to let Dame keep heating it up. And I believe could be the problem. I believe that can be a problem.
No doubt. No doubt about it. And then, off the bench, you still got Hassan Whiteside, a great defensive rim protector for the Portland Trail Blazers. Yeah, he can, but defense is his specialty. That's what he does well. He can help you on the defensive end. And like I told you, you always talk about Dwight Howard. Listen, we know Dwight Howard is better than Hassan Whiteside. But at this point in his career, I think Hassan Whiteside can limit Dwight Howard to not scoring at all. I told you on last week's show, Dwight Howard doesn't have any consistent low post moves. I don't know why
you're crazy. You're crazy if you.
So you think Dwight Howard? Let me ask you. This is why I be saying. Why do I be having to talk basketball with you? You think Dwight Howard has in his prime? Let's talk about Dwight Howard in Orlando now. We about to bring Earl on here another 3 minutes, but I want to ask you a question. You actually think that Dwight Howard has consistent low post moves?
Yes. Have you ever seen him work out with Hakeem Olajuwon?
So you think
he went for it?
But just because you're working out with Hakeem Olajuwon doesn't mean that you are like he was skillful. He's not skillful like Hakeem Olajuwon was. He's not skillful like Anthony Davis.
I'm not saying he's gonna be skillful like Olajuwon, but Olajuwon gave him enough skills that he can utilize when he's playing a game of basketball. I definitely believe Dwight Howard has some low post moves. He wasn't very efficient in the field enough, but he had enough average moves that he could get him to the bucket. Now I think
What are you watching? When I watched Dwight Howard in his prime when he was with the Orlando Magic, I seen Dwight Howard get a lot of his points in transition. I seen a lot of his points off alley oops. I've never seen Dwight Howard put up points.
So you're gonna tell me
that Dwight Howard was putting up points in the low post like a Tim Duncan? No, listen, listen to me. Let me finish. You think he was putting up points in the post like a Tim Duncan, like a Anthony Davis, that like a Kevin Garnett? He's never been that kind of player. So when I talk about low post, let me give you my definition of low post. When I think about a low post score, I think about a player that's down on the block who is skillful, who I can give the ball to in crunch time and say, I need a bucket. Get me a bucket right now. KG can do it. Tim Duncan can do it. Anthony Davis can do it.
When you put it like that, it changes the whole mood in the room. Like, I thought we were talking about low post scores. I mean, he has the skills to do low post score. Now you're saying, oh, I need a bucket in the clutch time.
When I think about low post scores, I would even tell you this. Shaq was better down the low post down the block than Dwight Howard was. Dwight Howard's never been skillful on the offensive end of the floor. I don't know why you think he is. He's not skillful.
I'm surprised you didn't watch him. You didn't really honestly watch him do the post move. I can send you videos of him doing post moves in Orlando, bro. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous, man, that you haven't seen that.
Send me those videos. I want you to send me the videos of Dwight Howard doing that.
Okay, and I'm gonna send you Orlando Magic fan. He's gonna tell you the same thing.
Okay, all right. Well, he's the founder and host of the Worldwide Sports Network. He's also out of New York, so he's up there in New York. Let's welcome our guy, Earl Marks, to the show. Earl, what's up, bro?
What's going on, man?
Okay, man. What's going on, man?
Listen, you guys are hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. What you're debating is awesome. I'm happy to be here. Thank you for inviting me, guys.
Thanks, man. I'm glad you came on the show, man.
Yes, sir.
Your arguments to Damian Lillard, I'll tell you this right now. Don't count the Portland Trail Blazers out. I can tell you that right now. They're a good team. Damian Lillard's one of the best point guards. And by the way, Steph Curry is not Damian Lillard. I don't want to hear this. Steph Curry is a great three-point shooter, no question. He's a great ball handler. But in the big game, go look at what Steph Curry has done in the playoffs. He has done nothing in the playoffs. I think he averages about 22, 23 points a game in the playoffs. If you're a big-time player like LeBron James averaged 30, 31 points a game. LeBron James is what you look at as, when you try to compare Michael Jordan to one of those players. You need a guy that's going to take over a game. No question LeBron James is that type of player. He's not Michael Jordan. Nobody's right. Michael Jordan. Just like when you compare Kobe Bryant to Michael Jordan, LeBron is the closest thing to Michael Jordan because of what he does in the playoffs. Kobe Bryant, career average in the playoffs is 24 points. LeBron James, career points is about 31, 32.
Wait a minute, Earl. Hold on, Earl. Hold on. Wait a minute.
Earl, you just
he already – now he already started. Now he already
he
got
started
me started.
In Detroit. I
want to
see this.
So you mean to tell me that you think when you watch LeBron – mm-hmm. And you've watched Kobe. When you take away from it, you actually believe that LeBron is more closer to MJ than Kobe is, based off points per game average in the playoffs. Because here's the thing you got to keep in mind: throughout the course of his career, when he won his first three championships, Kobe was playing alongside one of the best big men of all time, in Shaq. That was Shaq's team. So that's part of the reason why I think his points per game average in the playoffs is down. And, you know, once Shaq left, we saw Kobe win two finals MVPs. To that, you say what, Earl?
Hold on one second. When Shaq left, when they made the playoffs the next year, did they do anything in the playoffs?
I got to look it up. I really don't remember, but you know.
They did not do anything in the playoffs. Kobe Bryant needed players around him. He needed Lamar. He needed all those players around him to do the things that he needed to do in the playoffs. He didn't – Shaquille O'Neal, when he went to Miami, did he win a title? He did. He won it with Dwayne Wade. When Kobe Bryant – now, I'm not saying Kobe Bryant wasn't one of the greatest players of all time. On my list, he probably ranked 17 or 16. That's where I would rank him.
What?
Yep.
What?
Yep. Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
You said – Say it again. You say it again, Earl. I want to make sure everybody hears it.
Kobe Bryant on my list is ranked in the top 20. I would say either 16 or 17. I would take a lot of players over.
Get this recorded and like
I would take a lot of players over him. I take a lot of players.
Hey, this is definitely me. Like, if somebody need to record it.
Kobe, right now, Kobe rolling over in his grave right now. But first of all, RIP to the Black Mama because
absolutely,
man, RIP to Kobe.
Absolutely.
Like, seriously, but did you just tell me? You just like, because you know, it was ESPN, they put out a list of all-time greats. I don't know if y'all got a chance to see this. They put out a list of all-time greats a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And they had Kobe ranked at 12th. And I thought that was disrespectful.
No, it's not.
Let me explain something to you. First of all, Kobe Bryant is the greatest Laker of all time. Go ask Magic.
Magic just said that. That's not true. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was the greatest Laker of all time.
See,
that's all I'm going to say. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
I love Kareem. But the fact that you think that Kobe Bryant is ranked 16th or 17th is crazy to me, Earl. We're talking about a five-time champion, two-time Finals MVP, what, 18-time All-Star? Kobe, listen, I actually told Clarence this on the show the other day, and I've said it multiple times. I think the media and a lot of fans, they try to pretend as if LeBron James is in the GOAT conversation, and they put him in that GOAT conversation. I actually think that Kobe is closer to MJ than LeBron even is to Kobe.
Like, no way.
Kobe is better than LeBron. He's always has been, and he always will be. Until LeBron James is 3-6 in the NBA Finals.
LeBron has almost every single playoff record when it comes to points, assists, rebounds, everything. Everything. LeBron James just dominated. Dominated. Now, you're going to say, well, he's been in eight straight finals. He also plays in the Eastern Conference, no question. Kobe played in the West. But also, Kobe played with Shaquille O'Neal. He also played with Pau Gasol, one of the best big men in the league when he was on the Lakers. Remember, when they traded him from the Grizzlies, and they tried to get Chris Paul, and the league completely shut that down. Because if they got Chris Paul, that would have been six or seven more championships. Okay?
Here's the thing. Another thing I want to tell you in favor of Kobe over LeBron. You know Kobe won a championship in 2010 with the Lakers. Remember, y'all remember they beat KG, Paul Pierce, and the Celtics. They won seven games. Yeah. That Lakers team wasn't anywhere close to LeBron's Miami Heat team, Earl. Kobe won with less. Once Shaq left L.A., Kobe had Pau Gasol, which Pau Gasol is a legitimate big man. I like Pau Gasol. But Pau Gasol, he's not a lock to get to the Hall of Fame.
Oh, he's a lock.
Hold on, wait a minute. Is he a lock like Dwayne Wade? No, he's not a lock. I'm comparing co-stars now. Okay. Is he a lock like Dwayne Wade? Pau Gasol the talent that Kyrie Irving is? Is Pau Gasol the lock to get to the Hall of Fame?
Pau Gasol at the dominant part of his game was better than Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving is a coach killer.
He's a coach killer, but you can't deny his talent.
Next topic, man. This is hilarious.
But when I look at the Lakers team and I look at that Miami Heat team that was stacked, Earl, you're not gonna sit up here and be able to tell me that LeBron did more with less. No, Kobe did more with less. That Lakers team was terrible. Besides Kobe and Pau Gasol carrying them on their backs to the championship and two finals, because they went in 08 and they beat the Magic. Then they went back and beat the Celtics. Kobe, I looked on the stat sheet, right? In that series against the Celtics when they beat the Celtics, I think Pau and Kobe averaged like over 20 points per game. The next best player and the next scorer on that team was Ron Artest. Guess how many points? I think it might have been Lamar Odom on Ron Artest, one of them. Guess how many points they averaged? Like 9 points per game. Mm-hmm. LeBron teams in Miami was stacked. He had Chris Bosh, a first option in Toronto. He had Dwayne Wade, the third greatest shooting guard of all time on his team. And he also had the nerve, the audacity to add Ray Allen.
Trey, let me ask you this question. LeBron James, his third year in the NBA, he took a terrible, terrible Cleveland Cavaliers team to the finals against who? The San Antonio Spurs, okay? Correct. Remember that team? Who was the second best player on that team? Larry Hughes? Are you kidding me? That team was terrible, absolutely terrible. That young LeBron James that nobody even really – everybody knew him as the king because he came –
22 years old.
Yeah, the 22-year-old kid took that Cavalier team, that garbage Cavalier team, all the way to the finals. Did Kobe do that? Did Kobe do that? Come on, man. He had Shaquille O'Neal. He had Shaq. He had Shaq, the most dominant player in the league, the diesel.
See, that's the thing. Because of Shaq's greatness, what we do is we take away from Kobe's greatness. It's not fair because I don't think Shaq would have won his championships with the Lakers if Kobe wasn't a part of that team. Kobe was putting up numbers when Shaq had got fouled out. I think it was against the Indiana Pacers. When Shaq fouled out, Kobe carried that team. I think we don't give Kobe enough credit for what he contributed to those Lakers teams and that first three-peat. We don't give him enough credit for it. Like
Kobe was a special player. You're absolutely right. There are players that you – when I put him in my top 20, top 20 is special. It's a special player. Now, I go up and down. I saw some of these – I didn't get to see some of these great players. That's why I don't put Kobe in the top 10 because when you try to compare and contrast some of the great players that maybe we haven't got an opportunity to see live, you can't really compare and contrast. How about Oscar Robertson? Oscar Robertson was one of the greatest players of all time. If you never got to see him or never heard of him, you wouldn't even know who he was. So there are players that were great in those times. So you can't take – Bill Russell. Come on, Bill Russell's one of the best big men of all time. But me and you have never seen a play. But the guy won like 13 titles, okay? Dominance, you have to also look at the years that they played, the decades that they played. When you look at LeBron James, could LeBron James play in the time of Michael Jordan? I don't know. Just as much as I could say that about Kobe Bryant. Because in those times, they were throwing people around. They were throwing them in, they were throwing them into the audience. If you try to go up, and you saw that in Last Dance, Michael Jordan said it best. Michael Jordan tried to go up, Shaquille O'Neal slammed him on the ground. A young Shaquille O'Neal slammed him on the ground. And he said, great foul, boy. That's what he said. Great foul, boy, because you know I'm going to go up. And what happened after that? He came back down and jammed it right in his face. Michael Jordan was a different, Michael Jordan was a different beast. Those players, Larry Bird was a different beast. Magic Johnson was a different beast. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was a different beast. These guys were some of the greats of all time. Now, I'm not saying Kobe wasn't, but to compare Kobe to those players, you have to look at numbers, and numbers don't lie. When you look at Kobe Bryant to LeBron James, I'm sorry, it's not even close. It's not even close.
Okay, Clint, I want you to chime in on this, and then I'm going to get back at Earl. You chime in on this and get your opinion on this. What you think?
Man, Earl and Trey, y'all had some key points. And I always felt like LeBron James was always in that GOAT conversation. He was always in the GOAT conversation with Michael Jordan and the other greats, man. But what he performed and what he did in the playoffs, that is some historic. I remember he got swept from the Warriors. He averaged a triple-double. And that's impressive. And, like, it was to the point they were trying to give him the finals MVP, but his team got swept. Like, for me, I just think LeBron James is, like, a top two or three player in the league, man. But I just want to ask you this. I want to ask you this, Errol. Do you have Allen Iverson ranked in your top 20?
Yes, I do. What made Allen Iverson – I hate when people try to compare James Harden to Allen Iverson because there is no comparison to Harden and Allen Iverson. Allen Iverson brought he brought a different style of crossover to the league. Now you look at Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving completely transitioned the crossover to the league. You look at the ball handling skills. You look at what he did with that 76ers team. Took him to the finals. That 76ers team, when the second best player on the team was Derek Coleman, okay? Derek Coleman. Eric Snow, okay? Eric Snow, okay? James Harden played with some of the greats. Kevin Durant, give me a break. Russell Westbrook, give me a break. And when I say give me a break. Those guys couldn't win unless they played with superstars. Kevin Durant didn't win until he went over there to Golden State and played with three other superstars. Give me a break, okay? When you look at superstardom and you look at what Michael Jordan did, say whatever you want. And a lot of people look at Scottie Pippen. As great as Scottie Pippen was defensively as a small forward and what he did defensively against all the guards in the league, Scottie Pippen, some people don't even put in the top 50 of all time. He was only in the top 50 of all time on my list because of Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan made Scottie Pippen great. Michael Jordan made everybody great because the guy was an assassin. He would go on the court and completely dominate.
I agree with that.
But let me get back to this. I agree with that. Mm-hmm. And I also agree with you about the James Harden not being comparable to Allen Iverson. I don't know if you got a chance to see that show, Earl.
Yes.
I'll see you.
We talking about that.
Okay, yeah. We talked about that on a few weeks ago because the difference between Harden and AI is AI was a killer on the court. He had the killer instinct, something that James Harden doesn't have. James Harden is a great scorer. Don't get me wrong. He's an outstanding scorer, one of the greatest scorers of all time. But Allen Iverson was on another level because he had that killer instinct. And just imagine if Allen Iverson was 6 feet three or 6 feet four or, you know, like 6'6". Allen Iverson probably will be the GOAT. Honestly, he probably would be the GOAT.
I think your favorite player said that too, Trey. Kobe Bryant said, I want to get back
to this Kobe-LeBron comparison real quick, Clarence. I'm not going to let Earl off the hook.
Earl, you got him.
So, you know what I mean? Do you know how many times LeBron has made the all-defensive team in his career, Earl?
Well, Well, again, when you look at LeBron James, he plays multiple positions. So he's defending multiple positions. He'll play the guard, he'll defend the guard position. He'll defend the small forward position, the power forward position. We've even seen him defend the center position. So again, Kobe Bryant is one of the greatest defensive players of all time. But also, Kobe defended only two positions. LeBron defended five positions. And when LeBron was at the top of his game defensively, LeBron should have won three or four defensive players of the year. But he never got the opportunity because the league has completely shut him down. Don't tell me LeBron James shouldn't have won eight straight MVPs, because he absolutely should. When Steph Curry won back-to-back MVPs, LeBron should have won one of them. LeBron should have won one of them. 29, 8, and 9.
I understand where you're coming from that perspective. But what I'm saying is Kobe's made the defensive team 12 times in his career. 12 times.
Absolutely.
LeBron James made it five.
Five, yep.
Also, Kobe Bryant is a better perimeter shooter than LeBron James could ever dream of being.
No question. No question.
Okay. Also, Kobe Bryant is a better closer than LeBron James could ever dream of being.
No question.
So, and when I compare greats, Earl, what I'm looking for in that final 3 minutes, mm-hmm. are you a closer? Can I give you the ball and say, take me to the promised land? I need a key bucket. When I look at the all-time greats, Earl, I have never felt like LeBron should be in a conversation with Kobe and MJ, players who are closers.
Let me ask you a question.
I need a closer.
Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. You watched LeBron James come back from a 3-1 deficit against Golden State. Remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
And everybody remembers the Kyrie Irving shot that supposedly won the game, right?
Correct.
Who made that unbelievable block that put – gave the chance of the Cavaliers to come back in that game to shoot that three? Who hit the last five foul shots in the game that completely closed the game out? By the way, got slammed on his arm and completely hurt his finger and still hit both his foul shots. That was LeBron James.
Let me give you some credit and LeBron some credit. That play in the 2016 NBA Finals, Game 7 at Oracle Arena, we all watched that. That play, LeBron, that chase down block that LeBron had on Iggy was a play that only LeBron James can make. I don't even think MJ can make that play. That was a play that only LeBron, you go from one part of the court to the other part of the court in literally three seconds. He was down there in 3 seconds. I don't know why Iggy didn't.
I've got another thing for you.
To this day, fellas, I still don't know why Iggy didn't dunk the basketball, though. I don't know. I think he might have been injured, though. One, he hurt that series a little bit because he should have ducked it. He should have ducked the ball. LeBron is known for those chase down blocks, but that was something that only LeBron James physically can do of all time. Only him. Go ahead, Earl.
LeBron James is only two. There's only two players in NBA history in a game six and a game, no, in the finals to score back to back 42 point games. You know who the two players are? LeBron James and Shaquille O'Neal. Look at what LeBron James did the last three games. Unbelievable. Game number five, he had a triple-double. Game number six, he had 42 points. I think he had 10 rebounds and 9 assists. And he did almost the identical numbers in game number seven. He won that game. He put everything on his back. To say that he's not a clutch player is ridiculous. Kyrie Irving hit the three-point shot, but LeBron James did everything else. LeBron James is he was the team. By the way, Kevin Love, and you say whatever you want about Kevin Love. Kevin Love did absolutely nothing in that playoff until he went into the finals. And Kevin Love had his best game in game number seven. Why? Because he actually defended somebody. That's why, because LeBron James was all over the place defending Klay Thompson, defending all the different players that he was defending, Steph Curry. He was all over the court. He was doing everything, okay? So people forget that what LeBron James did in that series was absolutely incredible. Not Kobe, not Michael Jordan. Even though Michael Jordan never went to a game seven, and that's because Michael Jordan is the greatest of all time, and I don't want to compare or contrast any of these guys because none of them, Kobe, LeBron, none of them are anywhere close to Michael Jordan. So anybody that tries to compare and contrast to say that this guy's better, just as good or almost as close to Michael Jordan, there is nobody that will ever be Michael Jordan. So I don't want to hear it anymore. I don't want to argue it anymore. It's not even close.
And here's another argument for me why Kobe, I think, is better than LeBron. I remember in the 2011 NBA Finals, LeBron melted down against the Dallas Mavericks, Earl. He melted down. He didn't want no parts of the Dallas Mavericks. And I've seen
that was his first year. That was his first year.
I know, but you can't melt down on the biggest stage. I saw moments in those finals, and I saw visions in my head. I saw J.J. Barea, Jason Terry, trash-talking LBJ. That would never happen with Kobe Bean Bryant. That would never happen with him. And another thing I want to say. I believe that even when you just talk about strictly basketball, just forget accomplishments for a minute. Let's talk about strictly skill. I think Kobe Bryant is a better defender than LeBron James. I think he's a better defensive player. LeBron is more physically gifted than Kobe, but Kobe is a better defensive player. I think Kobe's also by far the better scorer. Like, it's not even a comparison. Like, Kobe is a scorer at heart. Yes, he is. Don't listen. No. A lot of fans get caught up in the fact that LeBron James is now third on the all-time scoring list. He is not the scoring machine that Kobe Bryant was. Kobe, listen, LeBron might have been a little bit more efficient than Kobe, but that's because LeBron James, he didn't take many perimeter shots. Why? Because he couldn't hit perimeter shots. Kobe Bryant is a better
Hold on. Did you remember what he did in Boston? Do you remember what he did to Boston? Hit 10 3-point shots in a row in a playoff game. Do you remember that?
How consistent was it? What I'm saying is Kobe has a better all-around offensive game than LeBron James. LeBron James is a better facilitator. He's a better playmaker than Kobe Bryant, but Kobe Bryant, in my opinion, is a better scorer.
Well, before Giannis got into the league, I don't think nobody was hard for LeBron to get to the basket easy, man. That's all I'm saying. I think when he can score anywhere on the court, and he can demand his shot anywhere on the court.
He couldn't score anywhere in the court though. You're wrong when he was in Cleveland. His first go around the Cleveland fellas, LeBron was limited offensively. He was getting to the rim, but he wasn't able to hit consistent perimeter shots.
He was getting triple teamed. He was getting triple teamed. They wouldn't even let him get to the hole. He had to dominate in the perimeter, and he got to the line. He still averaged 30 points a game. He still averaged 30 points a game.
Because he can't get to the rim at will. I'm talking about being a perimeter scorer, being able to shoot the perimeter shot. He can't shoot the perimeter shot like Kobe. He just can't. I think Kobe's a better perimeter shooter.
LeBron always took his game to a higher level when he went into the playoffs. Kobe was a great playoff player, but he was not anywhere close to LeBron James. When you look at Kobe's numbers in the regular season and his playoffs, they're almost identical. When you look at LeBron in the regular season and the playoffs, they're not even close. They're not even close.
Two different
styles. They're not even close.
Two different styles.
I'll give you credit because I think LeBron James – I told Clarence this on the show a few weeks ago. LeBron James is a system himself. Mm-hmm. He's a system. Whatever team he is on, he is a system. So it doesn't matter what team he goes to, he's always going to be a system. But I have my own preference. And because it's sports, we can pick and choose who we want on our team.
Absolutely.
And if I saw Kobe and I saw LeBron – and I had to choose from either one of those two players, I'm picking Kobe. And I got one more point I want to reiterate that I said earlier. I was comparing that Lakers team to that Miami Heat team that LeBron James was on. I'm looking at this Miami Heat, this Lakers team with the Lakers. They had on their team Pau Gasol, Shannon Brown, Andrew Bynum, who's not even in the league anymore. They got
Andrew Bynum was a great big man. When they won, he was a great big man.
He hurt his knee.
He went to the 76ers, and then he completely disappeared. Andrew Bynum was supposed to be one of the best centers in the league.
He was good, Earl. I never thought Andrew Bynum was great. But let's look at this Miami Heat team. Miami got Chris Bosh, who was the number one option in Toronto. Dwayne Wade, the third greatest shooting guard of all time. And by the way, on those Miami Heat teams, it wasn't LeBron James closing the deal on teams. It was Dwayne Wade, because Dwayne Wade was the closer. Flashed, closed the deal. Also, I'm looking at Ray Allen, one of the greatest shooters of all time on that Miami Heat team. And by the way, guess what, Earl? Ray Allen saved LeBron's legacy.
Why? Hitting that 3-point shot?
In the 2013 NBA Finals, Earl. And Clarence, though, I'm right. Ray Allen hit a three-point shot that saved LeBron James' legacy.
He stepped out. It shouldn't have even counted. He stepped out of bounds.
We can stay in the NBA real quick because I wanted to ask you this, Earl. I really wanted to ask you this. So yesterday I made a controversial post yesterday on Facebook, and I said I believe Chris Middleton is – we can reconsider him as a top 10, top 15 player in the NBA. Do you believe Chris Middleton is a top 10 or 15 player in the NBA?
No, not even close. Are you guys crazy?
No.
Not even close.
No, Earl. That's Clarence that thinks that. I don't think Chris Middleton's a top 10 player.
Earl,
let's
look,
be clear.
Look, yeah, I think he's – look, I know
top 30. Top 30.
I was wrong.
Top 30.
No, come
top 30.
On, man. He can sneak in.
Top 30.
He can sneak in.
No.
Look, I think what he did – what he's doing with Milwaukee, but he's there like one of their main three-point shooters.
Clarence, there's so many great players in the league. There's so many great players in the league.
Fellas. Fellas, let me ask y'all a question. Clarence, are you asking, is he a top 10 player currently in the bubble right now or overall?
Okay, let me rephrase it. Earl, is he a top 10 player in this bubble?
I would probably say
yes. The way he's playing right now. Yes.
Yes, but not overall. But not overall. Hell no. No, because we can't forget about that great player that's up there.
I still love you, Clarence.
Yeah, we can't forget about that.
It's a lot of controversial, man. I love Middleton. I love what he brings to the table. He's like, look, he looks up to Kobe, and he's trying to, like, match his game off of Kobe. So I see a lot, like, a lot of little tangibles that he got from Kobe. Post moves. Low post moves and 3-point shooting. You know, he's skilled, but he's not athletic, and he doesn't get a lot of recognition. But I like him. Like, I think he's
Earl.
Kind of,
he's kind of
Earl. Yeah. Let me Earl. I want to get your opinion on this because I've told Clarence that when it comes to Chris Middleton, I think Chris Middleton would be a great third option to a championship team.
Absolutely.
I don't think he's a great second option on a championship team. I think the perfect role for Chris Middleton would be what Chris Bosh's role was with LeBron's Miami Heat. I think that would be a more perfect role for Chris Middleton.
Chris Middleton is nowhere close to the player that Chris Bosh was, by the way.
No, he wasn't. But I just think that's a better role for him.
I'm not comparing Bosh.
I just think that's a better role. This is part of the reason why, Earl, as well, me and Clarence disagree about the Bucks coming out the East. I don't think you can win a championship with Chris Middleton being your second best player. To that you say what?
I would agree with you. If Milwaukee comes out of the East, they don't stand a chance against any of the teams in the West. There are teams in the East that you can kind of compare and contrast that would give some of the mismatches to the West teams. One of the teams is the Boston Celtics. I think the Boston Celtics could be very, very dangerous because of the way they play defense and the offense that they can shoot on the floor and they can get to the hole. And Kemba Walker is a guy that could dominate a game, could take over a game.
Earl,
and
they've got weapons that can come out the East?
No, I didn't say the Celtics. I said they would cause a lot of problems, mismatches against some of the teams in the West. I'm not saying the Celtics are coming out of the East.
I am. Earl, I'm going to let you know right now. Let's talk about that. Because I told Clarence on the show many weeks ago, I said I think the Boston Celtics will be representing the Eastern Conference in the finals. And let me tell you why real quick. They have four players that can create their shot off the dribble. Gordon Hayward, Jason Tatum, Kemba Walker, and Jaylen Brown. I don't think there are other teams in the NBA that have four players that can create a shot off the dribble like the Boston Celtics. Yeah. Say it again.
I don't like Jaylen Brown. I never liked Jaylen Brown.
What? JB is nice.
Jaylen Brown be
balling. I don't like him.
But see, I think when I look at the Boston Celtics, they have an up-and-coming superstar. Yeah, I said superstar in Jason Tatum. They are a well-coached team. Brad Stevens is one of the best coaches we have in the NBA. I say top 10, not top 5, but top 10. And then, like I said, if Kemba Walker comes back and he's close to 100%, I think they can cause the Milwaukee Bucks some problems in a 7-game series. And I also told Clarence this, Earl. I think Giannis, his limitations on offense is going to hurt the Bucks in the playoffs.
What the Raptors did to them.
Exactly. And my problem with Giannis is when you shut him out from the paint, he still doesn't have that consistent jump shot that he can hit to to offset you stopping him from getting in the paint. I think you can say you're a great player when a team can shut down your strength and you have another alternative offensively to get to. Kevin Durant has it. James Harden, he has it. Steph Curry has it. If you stop them from getting into the paint, they can still step out and hit the perimeter shot. Giannis doesn't have that in his game. Therefore, I think when we get to the playoffs and teams are game planning to beat you, I think the Bucks are going to have some issues.
But everybody in the game. That Boston team cannot stop that Giannis guy. Like they have no answer for that Giannis, the Greek Freak. I truly believe Milwaukee is definitely coming out. Is coming out of the East because they're a forceful team. Giannis, he's a one man wrecking crew. Errol and Trey. Someone on that Boston team is slowing him down.
I think they'll double team him, try to keep him on the perimeter, make him shoot, force him to shoot. Giannis is going to have to get to the hole, and he's going to have to make things happen for the Milwaukee Bucks if they plan to win that game. And that's
he also need to shoot with Middleton too.
Yes.
I'm going to give y'all another dark horse team that I forgot about.
Go ahead.
But they have showed up in this
world. I'm waiting for you to say it. Go ahead.
And that's the reigning NBA champion.
I knew you were going to say it.
Because listen, don't laugh at the Toronto Raptors, Clarence. I'm serious.
I'm not laughing. I'm serious. They're nice.
They are well coached with Nick Nurse. They got veteran leaders like Gasol and Serge Ibaka, and you got an up and coming star in Siakam, and you got Kyle Lowry, also a veteran point guard who can hit some timely big shots. Don't sleep on the Toronto Raptors. I'm letting y'all know right now.
I would agree with you on that. And if Philadelphia actually had a good coach, and I don't like Brown as a coach, I like Philadelphia. I think they have a good bench and they have good players. They have very good, talented players. Ben Simmons needs to learn how to hit a jump shot. That's what he needs to learn how to do. Yeah. But Ben Simmons could dominate the game in so many different ways. He's a good defender. He can pass the ball. The guy can move. A lot of people try to compare Ben Simmons to LeBron James when he came into the league because he has the ability to do the things that LeBron James could do. But LeBron James did something that Ben Simmons hasn't done yet. LeBron James worked on his foul shooting. LeBron James worked on his shooting. That's something that Ben Simmons needs to do in the offseason, which he has. He's got to stop hanging out with the Kardashians and do something right. That's the problem with him.
They need to teach him how to shoot.
Yeah, by the way, Earl, that's another, I think, another strength that Kobe had over LeBron as well. Kobe was always a better free throw shooter. But when we look at the NBA, who do you believe is going to make it to the finals from the East and the West, Earl, and who's going to be hosting that trophy at the end of the season? Who you got?
It's a good question, and I've argued this point. I talk about it on my show, and you can argue it could be the two L.A. teams because of the Clippers, their defensive style of game. Doc Rivers, I don't trust him as a coach. I don't care what anybody says. I think he's an overrated head coach. He had Kevin Garnett.
Whoa.
He had Paul Pierce. I think he's overrated. I've always thought Doc Rivers was overrated. Remember, Doc Rivers played for the Knicks when he was the point guard for the New York Knicks in the 90s. I never liked him as a player. I don't like his son. I think his son is a cocky kid. I just think that Doc Rivers, the way he coaches the game, it wasn't really him. His defensive style of game was Tom Thibodeau. Tom Thibodeau was the defensive mind of that Boston Celtics championship team. It was Tom Thibodeau. It wasn't Doc Rivers, okay? So that's what people forget. Tom Thibodeau was the guy that really brought them to that defensive style of game. So my opinion here, you can argue it's the two LA teams. I think Portland could be a very dangerous team. I've said this over and over again. I think they can score and they could do a lot of things. I do believe in the big picture, Carmelo Anthony needs to take over. If he doesn't take over and give them 16, 17 points in the playoffs, they're not going anywhere. But I think it's you know what? I'm gonna take the dark horse. I'm gonna take the Clippers and I'm gonna take the Celtics. Clippers win the championship.
Hey, that's my pick.
Are you crazy,
Clarence, ain't that my pick? That's what I got.
Is y'all brothers or something? The same identical.
But Earl, real quick, just to let you know, the Clippers aren't a dark horse. They are a legitimate championship contender.
Well, they are. But the Lakers are expected to win. Everybody picks the Lakers.
They do. We only got a few minutes left, but real quick, Earl, I told Clarence this on the show weeks ago. The Lakers are top-heavy. After LeBron and Anthony Davis, there's a significant drop-off. For some reason or another, Clarence believes the Lakers are a loaded team. That's the term that he used, Earl. He said they're loaded. Go defend yourself.
Look, Earl, all I'm saying is they're loaded with experience. They're loaded with veteran presence and experience on that team. They can really go deep into the playoffs. Look, you get Rondo back for the playoffs in a few more weeks. You got LeBron James. You got a young Anthony Davis, JaVale McGee, Danny Green.
You know what's funny? You know what's funny?
Experience right there. You know what's so deep in that playoffs?
Hey, Clarence and Earl. You know what's funny? We've been talking about how terrible the Lakers been shooting since they've been in the NBA bubble. And you just brought up they bringing back Rajon Rondo. I love Rajon Rondo, but Rajon Rondo has never been known for his shooting. I don't think that's gonna be able to help the Lakers as much as you think it will be, Clarence.
Their strength is not on the three though. Their strength is between LeBron James and Anthony Davis. So they basically playing around their game, and they have enough experience, enough shooters, defenders, players. They can get to the basket. They're set. They're loaded with a lot of experience on their team.
You also have to look that when the playoffs start, it becomes a half-court game. It's not a full-court game anymore. That's the thing that people don't understand when it comes to defense. And the Clippers are made to win championships. You look at the players that they have. They got four of the top 10 best defensive players on one team.
And they can keep
LeBron James on the perimeter and make LeBron James try to beat them on the perimeter. And Anthony Davis, he's going to get his buckets. But if you can keep LeBron James to 25 and Anthony Davis to 32, you can win that series.
Yes, I believe
they can win that series. Danny Green, great. He's from Long Island. I love Danny Green. I've actually interviewed Danny Green. He's a great kid. Great. And he's a championship winner. But he also played with Tim Duncan, Tony Parker,
Kawhi Leonard.
Kawhi Leonard. He played with all these guys. He played with all of them. So he was a seventh or eighth option. He's not a seventh or eighth option on that team. He's the fourth option. So that's the difference.
And that's the thing, too, Earl, before we get out of here, I told Clarence, I feel like the layoff, it hurt the Lakers more than any other team because they were in a rhythm. Before the layoff, they had beat the Clippers on Sunday in L.A. Then on Friday night, 2 days before, they had beat Giannis and the Bucks. I thought the Lakers were in a rhythm at that moment in the season. I don't know if you remember that, but they were the hottest team.
Yes, it was.
The layoff hurt the Lakers. I think the Clippers are going to beat the Lakers if they match up in the playoffs. I think the Clippers got too much depth for the Lakers.
Clippers made to stop LeBron. That's all I'm saying.
Yes, they are. They are. But Earl, we got to get out of here. But it's the thing, Earl. Next time we bring you on, it's gonna be a football segment. This was all basketball.
Let's do it. Anytime you guys want me on, I'm all for it.
By the way,
before you guys go, I listened to the arguments with the Drew Brees Rodgers thing. Rodgers is a better quarterback than Drew Brees.
Thank you, Earl.
Burrow's gonna be better than him in a few years.
What happened?
Burrow's gonna be better than Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees.
It's time to go, Earl.
Hey, we're gonna get one ring. I'm predicting it.
We gotta go. Live here on the Worldwide Sports Network. Wise guys, these guys know sports. Everybody have a great weekend. Clarence, I see you on Monday, bro.
Hey, yep. See ya.